Please join me in prayer. Amen. So you know how it is. Maybe you're sitting in a meeting or at a meal, and you've got your phone in your pocket or in your purse, maybe, and you could feel it, you can hear it buzz. And you wonder, who is it? Who's calling me? I think someone has sent me a message. I always think that. I try to turn off the ringer, but the buzzer still buzzes. I think, in the middle of this meeting, in the middle of this thing I'm doing, I'm distracted, and I think, someone is calling me. And sometimes it's everything I can do to keep from taking it out and look at that little notification on the screen. Who is it? Who just messaged me? Who just tried to call? I came a little late to this smartphone world. I try to be a little bit Amish in this cyberpunk world. I don't like adapting radical new technology, at least until I know what it's good for. My first smartphone was the iPhone 4 Plus. I don't know if you remember that one. The previous iPhones had all been kind of soft and round, and I like soft and I like round, but this one had that metal band around the outside, and it was had some hard edges. It was industrial, it was tough, it was cool. It was the first phone with Siri, for whatever that was worth. I got it the day before a youth retreat. And man, those kids were impressed by what a hip pastor I must be. Of course, they didn't realize I didn't have the first clue how to use this thing. But it definitely improved my life. I used to have all these little boxes I would carry around, a data voice recorder for like sermon ideas and journaling that I used to do, and a tuner for my guitar, and an iPod to listen to my podcasts and music, and it replaced all those little boxes. And it was convenient for me too. One of my resistances was I don't want to be that easy to get a hold of, right? But it turns out everyone else suddenly became a lot easier for me to get a hold of, because I could call him when I was driving, or I could call him hands-free, and I could call him when I was, you know, in between activities. It made my life more convenient, too. But I have reservations even still. I'm rarely not in the same room as my phone. It's in my pocket right now. And I wonder if maybe that's a little unhealthy. To be so attached to a physical object, to be so accessible to the outside world. These phones, they make us rude. And I work on my phone manners. I try to leave the phone in my pocket when I'm interacting with actual human beings. Or if I have it out, because it's also my calendar and we're in a meeting and I need to do some calendaring, I always try to make sure it's face down on the table, just so I don't see the flash of someone more interesting is trying to get a hold of me. I tell myself, you don't have to look at every flashing notification the instant it comes in. And I don't answer phone calls that I don't recognize, that I don't recognize the number. That's probably rude. I program, though, the names of anyone who's likely to call me. Almost anyone who's ever called me is programmed into my contact list so that the next time they call, their name shows up. And with a lot of people, the ones I interact with most often, I actually find a picture of them and put that in there too, so that when they call, their face shows up on my phone screen and I know who it is and I know to answer. But the first time you call me, my guess is you're going to have to leave a message, because if I don't recognize your number, I'm not going to answer. Again, I say that's probably rude of me, but all of the advertisers and the telemarketers and the interrupters, and I don't want to be available to all of them, right? I don't want to be that vulnerable to them. I don't want to be that vulnerable to the anonymous world. I want to know your name when you call me. I want to see your face when you call me. I don't want to be at the whim of every bing and every buzz. I don't want to be interrupted by calls from people I don't recognize. And maybe in that context, we can think a little bit about Samuel, because he heard a notification in the night, right? Samuel's young. He's in training for his ministry. Before his birth, it was foretold he would be a great prophet. And he's training. He's sleeping on the floor of the temple, and his teacher, the high priest Eli, is in the next room. And then Samuel hears it. Bing! Samuel. And so he runs to the next room. Eli, did you call me? Do you need something? Can I help you? And Eli says, it wasn't me. Go back to sleep. And then he hears it again. Bing! Samuel. And he runs again into the next room. Eli, what do you need? You keep calling me. What can I do for you? Eli says, it wasn't me. Go back to sleep. Now, Eli's no dummy, right? He was there when Samuel's mother, Hannah, prayed for the birth of this miraculous and blessed and foreordained son. He knows that Samuel will grow up to be a great prophet. And so when it happens again, bing, Samuel, and Samuel runs in to see Eli. Eli knows, and he says, it wasn't me. Go back to sleep. But maybe it is the sovereign one. Maybe it is God trying to get a hold of you. So the next time it happens, if it happens again, say, speak, O sovereign one, for your servant is listening. And just as Eli suspected, it happened. God calls again, Samuel. And Samuel responds, speak, O Holy One, I'm listening. And Samuel is called in that moment into service and becomes a great prophet of Israel. Three times God calls and Samuel doesn't answer. Samuel checks that caller ID, so to speak. Eli, is it you? No, then I'm going back to sleep. Samuel gets that notification and doesn't recognize it, doesn't recognize who's trying to get a hold of him. And so he ignores it. He's like me. He doesn't answer phone calls he doesn't recognize. He lets it get lost in the voicemail. Samuel gets a call from God and almost misses it because he doesn't recognize it. We talk a lot in our tradition about calling. I used that word over and over again a few weeks ago in my sermon to the whole church when I was talking about the calling of each different congregation. We've been talking about calling pastors. Last week we called a new pastor for the Karen Fellowship. In a couple of weeks we're going to meet again to talk about calling, discern about calling a new pastor. And it's for all of us as individuals too, a calling in our own lives as a follower of Jesus. What is God calling you to do? We equate this word calling with career, with a career of purpose. We equate it with something to do that serves interests beyond our own, something to do that makes life meaningful. We count blessed people whose occupation is also a calling. And it's always both, right? It's a calling is always both service to the world that the world needs and the fulfillment of the self that the self needs. It's always going to be both. One theologian puts it like this. He writes, the place that God calls you to, that is the place of your calling, is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Or as the heretical Gospel of Thomas said, if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. And if you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. You are made a certain way. God has built into you gifts and graces and passions and powers. And so your fundamental in calling in life is simply to bring forth what is within you and offer it to the world. To give yourself to life. At the deepest sense, that's, I think, what we mean by calling. And we see it over and over and over again in the great call stories of the scriptures, Isaiah and Mary and Saul. And usually they go a lot better than they went with Samuel. Others get the caller ID part, right? In Isaiah's dream, he stands before the throne and there are cherubim and seraphim and fire. And he hears a voice, who will I send? And it's unmistakable who's speaking. And so Isaiah says, send me. or the call of Moses on the side of the mountain, the bush that bursts into flames, and the voice, "Take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground." It's unmistakable who this call is from. Or the call of Mary, with the angel Gabriel standing before her, "You're blessed among women." And she says, "Let it be for me as you have said." It's unmistakable who's calling her. In each case, they get that message. It's time for you now to bring forth what is within you and offer it to the world in service. It's time for you to live into your deep gladness, for the world has a deep hunger for exactly what you have within. This is Samuel's moment like that. He receives his call, but he almost misses it because he doesn't recognize the voice. He doesn't recognize the number on the ID. So thank God for Eli, who coaches him along. This is so important in our lives, too. We have lived beyond the days of burning bushes and angels who stand in front of us. How will we recognize our callings when we receive them? We all have more gifts than callings, and the world has more needs than we can ever hope to meet. So how do we know where that right matchup is? How do we know what calls we should answer and which calls we should let go to voicemail? How do we know at least as well as Samuel did? Well, and I have a couple of suggestions. First, we know that there will be both need and giftedness in a moment of call, that the call will arise to us from a place of the world's need, and it will speak to us in a place of our gladness and giftedness. Now, as a clergy friend of mine always says, the need is not the call. And what he means is the need alone won't help. There's lots of needy places in this hurting world, and if you think it's your job to address every single one of them, you're going to wear yourself out. When you're called, there will be need there. But the need is not the call. And by the same token, your giftedness is not the call. You have lots of gifts. Every one of you is so gifted, has so much to offer the world. Not all of them are callings. It's so easy to fall into simply doing something that needs to be done, spending hours, weeks, years solving problems without finally discovering your own unique calling. Just because you could help didn't mean it was your thing to help with. And whenever we do that, we find ourselves remarkably accomplished, productive, but hauntingly dissatisfied and a little bit empty. Just because you would be good at something does not mean that you're called to do it. The gift is also not the call, not alone, not by itself. So yes, you need to look to the world and to know its hungers, and you need to look within and to know your own deepest gladness and find that match. That's the first thing I would say about how you know a call when you get one. The second is have a mentor, right? Have someone like Eli helping you to discern. A book group, your pastor, a partner, a friend, a pastoral counselor or a therapist can be so important in this process of discernment. A secret sharer, some other soul, a fellow traveler. Have people in your life who can help you discern your call. And finally, I want to say, every time the phone rings, look closely at that caller ID. See if you can figure out who's calling. You will know it when you see it because you're going to recognize it. What do I mean by that? That's a little bit complicated. The call from beyond yourself will remind you of something that God has already put within you. The call from beyond you will speak to something within you. The voice of God that comes to you from beyond your life will resonate with what God is at work creating within you. God has made you a certain way. As I said, there is within you that which you can offer to the world. And you will know your call by the way it resonates. Something within and the the voice from beyond. The voice from beyond will sing a song to your heart, and you will find yourself already knowing the tune, already singing along. Or another metaphor. If you look at that smartphone when it's not on, when it's at rest, you see that beautiful black glass screen, that black mirror. The way I have my phone set up, I told you, when someone calls, I see their face on the screen. Well, you will know you're calling, because when the phone rings and you look at that black mirror to see who it is, you're going to see yourself reflected. Because the calling from the far distance of God's desire for this world will look to you like your most true self. Amen.